Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. If God knows the end from the beginning, we need not doubt the glory of the ending, because God is a God that's never anticlimactic. He is a God that is always able to perform, and He's always able to make the end better than the beginning. Amen? You may be seated. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. In this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. God said, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. In Acts 2:17, David, the Apostle Peter quotes Joel, and he said, it shall come to pass in the last days. We have to realize that we're living in the last days. These are what the Bible calls perilous times. In the last days it shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Joel 2:23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given to you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. God knew what the last days were going to be like, but he was setting for us the tone of our attitude, that we should not be in fear, we should not be in disdain, we should not be in doubt, but we ought to be filled with faith, we ought to be filled with anticipation. We need to realize that the end time runs on two rails. There is a great falling away the Bible talks about, but the other rail is that there is a great ingathering and a great harvest. The Bible does say that in the last days men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, such turn away. All of those things are evident in our society. But it is no reason for us to be downcast, because the promises of God far outweigh the perilous times that we find ourselves in. For every drought, there is a deliverance. For every famine, there is a feast. For every mess, there is a miracle. For every trial, there is a triumph. For every test, there is a testimony. For every scar, there is a star. For every valley, there is a victory. For every fire, there is a fourth man in that furnace. For every mountain, there is a miracle. So I say, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. God knows the end from the beginning. If you are a born-again child of God, how many people are born again here today? How many people are children of the living God? How many people are part of that church that God has purchased with His own blood? If you're a part of that, the Bible teaches us in the text that I have selected that nobody in God's church is exempted. Simply because you are of a certain age does not exempt you. The greatest gift to humanity is youth. Oh, to be young again. Do you ever look at young people and see their energy and say, oh, I would like to be 18 again? Maybe you don't. I do. The greatest gift to humanity is youth. But the second greatest gift to humanity is longevity. Some of you that might be a little older are going to have more experience in the last decade, the last years of your life, than some young people that don't get it. When you get it, you realize that God is not only a God of all races and all people, but He is a God of all ages. And God does not put anybody on the shelf. If you're on the shelf, you put yourself there, because God is looking for people that are active. That's the reason why He called the church the Book of Acts. He intends for us to be active. And so he addresses in the text that I have selected, old men. And there are so many of us that don't like that phrase, but that's simply what God calls us. The Bible teaches us that when you get old, it's not over. That the last years of your life can be the very best. So he said, your old man shall dream dreams. It was a dream that delivered Joseph from prison. And dreams can deliver you from the prison of old age and inactivity. If you still got a dream, my friend, you can experience great joy and great accomplishment regardless of your life. A dream will play a part in delivering us from the prison of our past. Some people are filled with regret. It doesn't matter how many regrets you have, you're living in a brand new day. Today is the beginning. Today is the day of your salvation. At your age, you need to stand up and say, I've still got my dream, and time has not taken my dream. My goals and my desires that I had in my youth that never manifested are going to manifest in the last days. And so God's message to those that are older is a message of restoration. I'll restore to you things that you never even saw manifest, and I'll restore to you things that you have lost. God is going to plunder your past to perform his promise. What God is going to do is go back in your past, and every regret that you've got, God is going to restore it. He said the canker worm and the caterpillar have destroyed it, but I'm going to bring it back. There are some of us that decided we simply will not die until we see our dream manifest. There was such a man in the Bible. His name was Simeon. And the Bible said this, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I wonder if there's anybody here over the age of 50 that God has revealed to you in the Holy Ghost that you will not die until you see your dream come to pass. Until you see the church have revival. Until you see America have revival. Until you see your family have revival. Until you see your daughter living for God. Until you see your son living for God. Until you see your grandchildren living for God. I want to say to those of you over 50 that God intends for this to be the greatest decade of your life. And so look up. Begin to rejoice. Let the power of God come back in your life. Do not ever say it's over. Get up every day and say it's just beginning. This is a new day, and the Lord is going to do a new thing in my life, and God is going to use me like he never had. Hallelujah. And the Bible said he came by the Spirit into the temple, Simeon, at a very old age. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, if you're over 50, you ought to come to the church in the Spirit of God. You shouldn't drag in like you just escaped from the nursing home. You need to bounce in there full of faith and say, my dream is still big. My dream is still intact. God's going to use me today. I'm going to be a force in the kingdom of God. The Bible said he took Christ in his arms and blessed God and said, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, even though you might be 50 or 60 or 70 years of age, are you still embracing Christ? Are you still embracing the promise of Christ? Are you still embracing the message of Christ? Are you still embracing the dispensation that says God is going to come in full glory and we are going to see him face to face? Ladies and gentlemen, regardless of who you are, you're not exempt by age. God said, I need you. I will use you. I will equip you. I will empower you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And for the young men, you say, who are those? Those are those that are not old. I don't know the age exactly, but I do know that he said that young men are going to have vision in this great end time that he's talking about. But the Bible said, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. In the book of Habakkuk chapter 2, the Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain. Let me tell you, old people without young people are not much. But young people without old people cannot fulfill the will of God. We all need this together. It was David as a young man that brought the ark back to Israel. But it was the old man harvesting in the field that began to weep and celebrate and say, this is what we need. What we need more than anything else is the ark of God to come back to the church of the living God. I was thrilled Thursday night to see so many people here, hundreds of people praying and worshiping God. I told Judy, my assistant, she drives about 125 miles round trip to get here. So I told her on Wednesday night, now you don't need to come tomorrow night for Thursday prayer. It's such a long drive. She said, it's one of my favorite services. I'll be here. And when I talked to Reba after the service, she said, I love this Thursday night service. I like the way she said it. It's where you get stuff. Friend, I'm going to tell you, when the church of the living God begins to pray, we get stuff. Things begin to change. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time we celebrate the fact that there are young men like Pastor Brandon all over this nation and all over this world. They're bringing the ark of the God back. And they're saying, we will not be satisfied with just prep programs and people, but we want the power of Almighty God. We want the signs and wonders. We want the glorious manifestation of the Holy Ghost. We want to see blind eyes open. We want to see homosexuals delivered. We want to see drug addicts set free. We want the power of the living God. They've got a vision. They're writing it down and they're making it plain. And the Bible said, for this appointed, this vision is yet for an appointed time. This is the appointed time. God has not given up on this generation. God has not given up on this world. God has not given up on America. God has not given up on your family, and nor should you. If you're an old man, get your dream out and reinvigorate it. If you're a young man, write your vision down and say, this is going to happen. We have to realize that it's in the famine that the greatest feast comes. It's in the trial that the greatest triumph comes. And we are living in those times. And the Bible said we would. I've got a pastor friend that calls to me regularly, and he bemoans the signs of the time. And I always say, why are you surprised? That's what you've been preaching about for years. That's what the Bible said. But the Bible said there is a remedy for this age. There is a revival for this time. We knew it was going to happen. But ladies and gentlemen, there is a promise that God is going to restore His church. We are like Samson. We might have made some mistakes and we might have got our hair cut in the devil's barber shop and our strength might be gone temporarily, but God is causing the hair of the church to grow again and the power of the living God is coming back. I feel it coming back. I feel it growing. I feel it getting stronger. I feel it getting bigger. I feel it getting more glorious. It's not a time for the church to weep. It's a time for us to shout. It's a time for us to rejoice. It's a time for us to declare the counsel of God. Can you give God praise in this house today? Oh, hallelujah. I'm more excited now than I was when I was 16 years of age and began to preach this gospel. God is doing more today than He's ever done, and there is an acceleration. We've left the stop sign and we're accelerating quickly, praise God. God is doing a new thing. It was in a tremendous famine when there was no hope. It was so bad that people had turned to cannibalism. They were eating their own children, and suddenly a young man, a young prophet by the name of Elisha, stood up and said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, you can quote the newscaster if you want to, but you ought to quote the word of God, because there is a promise to this generation. There is a promise for these times. Hear ye the word of the Lord, saith the Lord. Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. What we need is young men to give the vision and give it plain and say, it's not over. We're not going to have a handful. We're not going to have a remnant. America is not going to be run over by the godless, but there's going to be a revival, and that revival is going to happen in the church house. It's going to happen in your house. It's going to happen in the state house. It's going to happen in the White House. It's going to happen in the schoolhouse. There is a revival coming. I tell you tomorrow about this time, it's going to get bigger and better and stronger. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see things that we've never seen. I have dreams that God has not yet allowed to manifest in my life, but I will see those. There are young men that are declaring the vision that they know what's going to happen. There are going to be times where the power of God is so strong that we won't have a sermon. We'll have a manifestation. The Spirit of God will perform so gloriously that people begin to come out of their seats getting saved. The Holy Spirit will fall from the front to the back, from the very front seat to the balcony. People will be healed. People will be gloriously saved. People will be baptized in the power of the Holy Ghost. It is not over yet. Don't head for the parking lot. You're going to like the outcome. The end is greater than the beginning. The glory of the latter house is greater than that of the former house. The latter rain is greater than the former rain. The latter days are going to be glorious. Don't give up your seat. How do people feel when they are at a great event and they give up a much coveted seat because they think it's over? And then in the foyer or on the radio on the way home, they hear what they've missed. They've paid a great price for that seat, but they just left too early. Anybody that's cold, anybody that's backslid, anybody that's left, you paid the price, but you didn't get the result. But we that kept our seat, we that stayed the course, we that kept our place, we that demanded our dream manifest, we that wrote the vision and declared it, we are going to receive a great dividend. Ladies and gentlemen, the best days are yet ahead of us. You need to revive your prayer. You need to re-strengthen your praise. You need to declare, I am strong. Give me this mountain. I'm stronger now than I've ever been. I'm going to be strong and do exploits. I'm not giving in. I'm going on. I will see my children saved. I will see my family saved. I will see my workplace revived. I see it. I see it. I see it. Can you see it? Ask God to take the scales from your eyes. For I see a cloud as a man's hand. It's getting ready to rain like it's never rained before. There is a glory of the latter days. God is going to create to those that are sons and daughters of prophecy. The Bible said, in the last days, the old men shall dream dreams. The young men shall have visions. But your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I speak to you, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a whole generation that has just been born. They don't know anything about the past, but they know about their unrest for the present. They know that they're hungry beyond description. They know they're longing beyond their age, and they're just hungry enough to get violent. And the Bible said from John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of God suffer violence. There are some young people that are not going to satisfy themselves with status quo. They're not going to feed on the diet of religious delicacies. They're hungry for the meat of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. They might not have a past, but God said, I'm going to raise them up, and they are going to become the prophets. What is a prophet? A prophet is one that speaks into the future until it becomes a reality. There are young people that are simply going to begin to prophesy. They're going to prophesy to the wind, and they're going to reap a good spiritual whirlwind, praise God. They're going to talk about what God is going to do. And the Bible said in that day that the harvest shall be so great that the harvester will overcome the sower. It will be as you're sowing, you're reaping at the same time you're sowing. God is going to accelerate everything. God is going to speed everything up. You're going to see more in a day than we used to see in a week. You're going to see more in a week than we used to see in a month. You're going to see more in a month than we used to see in a year. You're going to see more in a year than we used to see in a decade. God knows what He's doing. God is not slack concerning His promises. God's not out of gas. God's not old and decrepit. He was, He is, and He shall be. He's the same yesterday and forever. God is present in this house. His very foot tread can be heard in this building. His angels are all over this building. You need to pray, God, open my eyes and let me see the cloud. Let me hear the sound of going in the mulberry tree. God, let me have it. God will plunder the past of the old to rekindle our dream. But the youth, the sons and daughters, have no past to plunder. And the Bible said for them, I will do a new thing. There are young people that have never seen some of the things I've seen. And they're going to see more than I've ever seen. They're going to see people literally reformed by the power of the living God. Do you know the excitement? Have you ever been in a building where somebody totally blind jumps up and starts screaming, my eyes are hurting, my eyes are hurting, and then suddenly they say, I can see. Friend, that's going to happen on a large scale basis. God is getting ready to do a new thing. Sons and daughters shall lead in prophetic praise. The children knew more than the religious leaders and the triumphant ministry of Jesus Christ. When Christ came back to Jerusalem in a triumphant entry, it was not the old codgers, but it was the children that suddenly began to praise. Suddenly God gave them a supernatural revelation that this was the long-awaited Messiah. God is going to cause for the sons and daughters to become prophetic warriors. They're going to prophesy things they've never seen and hold things that have never manifested in their life before. And there will always be those that will be critical. The old religious people said, Jesus, talk to these kids. Said, they're going wild. They're praising you with abandonment. They're loud. They're boisterous. They're throwing their coats down for your donkey to ride on. Please, Jesus, talk to them. And Jesus said, no, that's exactly what I intended, for the children to come alive with prophecy and say, this is the long-awaited Messiah. Jesus is coming, ladies and gentlemen, and before Jesus Christ comes, there's going to be an amazing manifestation of His Holy Spirit. In the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. We're going to have revival in the church. We're going to see revival in office buildings. We're going to see revival in hospitals. We're going to see revival in jail cells. I've told you, in the early days of this church, when Becky and I were so on fire as young people, and we won people from the clubs, and one night, on a Saturday night, we went to a club on Penn Road in this very city, and they asked me to speak to a nightclub full of people that had no idea there was a preacher there. And while I preached the Word of God on the dance floor, and they stood there with their drinks, the Holy Ghost began to fall. People threatened my life. They threatened to burn down the club. The fire department came. The police department came. But oh, praise God, the Holy Ghost fell in that club that night in Penn Road. You young people have never seen that. You're going to see more than that. Becky was speaking at a college not long after that, just a couple of years. A tall African-American young man, maybe 6'6", came and said, you remember the nightclub on Penn Road? He said, yes. She said, yes, I was there. I was drinking. I wasn't saved. I'd never heard of it. But that night I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And now I'm enrolled in this Bible school because God has called me to the ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, you have no idea what God is about to do, but get ready, get ready. Take your seatbelt off and get ready to jump for joy. Get ready to leap for joy because God is going to do a new thing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In closing, David, the man after God's own heart, was under assault. They said, it's time for you to die. But there's just some of us that won't die. It's time for you to go away. But David said, I just don't want to go away. I want to see God return to Israel. His own son, Absalom, said, Dad, you're out of it. There's no place for you. But let me assure you, there's a place for everybody. I don't care what race you are. I don't care which gender you are. I don't care what your age is. There is a place for you in the glory of the last days. There is a place for you. If you're falling out, it's because you chose to. If you're dismissed, it's because you're self-dismissive. You need to stand up and say, you got to deal with me. I'm here and I'm not going anywhere until I see the glory of God. I am a Simeon. I will embrace the Messiah. I will embrace the harvest. And so there was a full-fledged rebellion led by Absalom, David's own son, against David. But the rebellion failed, and the rejection of David failed. And suddenly, there was a whole young generation on the scene. And the Bible said this, and Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now, therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing back the king? Ladies and gentlemen, our message is, that we are the generation that will bring back the king. You've never seen America in this kind of disarray. Part of it can be laid at the feet of Mr. Trump, but not nearly all of it. It's just the age we live in. And so it's time for the Church of the Living God to assume its role. It's not an hour on Sunday morning. It's 365 days a year. You need to become a living legend in your workplace, in your schoolroom. You are equipped with the Holy Ghost. God has saved you for such a time as this. There are people in this building that have got the same spirit in you that was on the apostles, and the same spirit that resurrected Christ from the dead. And Christ will not give you permission to be a Sunday morning Christian. He intends for you to be a 24-hour-a-day warrior. It's time to stand up. It's not enough to praise God when the worshipers lead us. You need to praise God like the Lone Ranger when there's nobody there on the workplace but just you. You need to praise God in your home until the glory of God fills your house. You need to praise God on your job until people ask, what are you doing? You need to praise God in the streets and in the malls and in the shopping places that you go until people realize there is a disciple among us. There is a prophet among us, a dreamer among us, a visionary among us. And I want to speak a word about bringing back the king. We do not have a candidate that is going to solve the ills of America. There is only one Lord. There is only one King. And there is only one Prince of Peace. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He refuses to come back just because we need Him. He said, I'm not coming back until you have revival. He said, I am waiting. I am waiting. I am long-suffering until you have a revival on the earth. Revival is not in the hand of God. Revival is in the heart of man. We have to break open our hearts and turn it loose. Old men, you've got to dream again. Young men, you've got to declare the vision of the Lord. And young people, you've got to begin to prophesy what you want to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our day and this is our hour. And if we will stand up and be the people that we are called to be, I promise you that heaven will roll back and the power of the living God will fall. It will roll in torrents. It will flow like a river. He said, I will heal your land. I will save your lost. I will deliver your bound. There is a God that is waiting for you and waiting for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's predestined. All flesh shall be visited by the power of the Holy Ghost. That means from the Alamo to Red China. That means from Russia to Bangladesh. The Spirit of the living God is going to flow, and it is going to fall, and we must respond. We have a responsibility, and this is what's going to happen. And I beheld, lo, a great multitude which no man could number. All nations and kindreds, there's the end of racism. And people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. A great multitude. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. The only if is you. Are you going to be like the man that heard the prophet of Elisha and laughed and said, yes, if God would open the windows of heaven? And the Bible said that he tried to hold the gate when that great feast came, but he was trod to death in the doorway, and he died at the gate of the revival that God had promised. The question is, are you going to be a participant or a casualty? Friend, I refuse to huddle with old men that criticize young people. I'm going to be right in the middle of it with young people that are prophesying, with young men that have visions. I intend to be a part of what God is doing in this last days. You know, I always like to say something profound when you're ending. You always like to close out with a big line. The last verse of the Old Testament. This is it. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. God said, I'm going to bring everybody, regardless of race. The only cure for racism is not Congress, it's the church. The only cure for a generation gap is not the school, it's the church. The only promise for America's drug epidemic is the church of the living God. You might be able to afford the luxury of Laodicea, but your children can't. You've got to get on fire, Mom. You've got to get on fire, Dad. You've got to learn to pray, family. You've got to learn to prophesy. Prophecy is not an occasional word to the church. Prophecy is a lifestyle of people that are visionaries and dreamers, that every day they get up and say, this is what's going to happen. And they declare what's going to happen. My children shall live and not die. We shall be blessed and not cursed. We shall be in health and not sickness. We shall be prosperous and not in poverty. We shall be soul winners and not soul losers. We are alive. We are prophets. Hey! Kids, sons, daughters, I'll loan you my dream for a day if you'll give me your prophecy for a night. Let's just trade back and forth until the will of God is done. It doesn't matter who's prophesying. It doesn't matter who's dreaming. It doesn't matter who's casting the vision. It doesn't matter who's singing the song. It doesn't matter who's preaching the sermon. It doesn't matter who's praising the praise. We just need to speak until the King said, all right, the revival is here. The Spirit has fallen upon all flesh. And now the King can come back. Will you stand on your feet? Lift your hands right now and say, God, count me in. Count me in. I'm a dreamer. I'm a visionary. I'm a prophet. But I am involved in the kingdom of God and the harvest of the end time.